Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary, and welcome to episode 5 and the conclusion of our month-long faithfulness series as we've explored this inherent attribute of God that affects every relationship that's in our lives. You know, Scripture tells us that God is eternally reliable, that He's steadfast, that He's unwavering. It's who He is. And I believe we're living in a day empowered by the Spirit of God as the Father renews His vision for our lives. He renews our vision for our church. And it's that vision that is fueled by His faithfulness that keeps moving us forward. It keeps allowing us to push past those obstacles and those challenges that we may face. And just when we get through one year of those challenges, we're presented with new ones. But it's His vision, fueled by the faithfulness of God, that allows us to navigate those days. And that vision keeps us strong. And today is our vision offering Sunday. This is such a special day, a day that we've been praying about and believing for the last couple of months. And annually, as a church, we set this day aside to prayerfully consider what we can do and to see this miracle day of giving, as it allows us to take a giant leap forward in the mission and vision that God has placed within this house. It's a day that we corporately wrap our faith around this moment to see the big things that God can do. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be a part of this. You can give online. You can give safely and securely as you do each week. But would you do something special today, something above and beyond what you normally do with your giving, a special sacrificial gift that'll just put us over the top? Some people can give hundreds. Some people can give thousands. But the truth is, there's no gift too big or too small, and we simply can't do this without you. We've got a goal that we not only are believing to meet, but we're believing to supersede. And so if you've been in the church lately, you can see the floors are already underway, new floors throughout the building, the kids' wing and the foyer here in the auditorium on the stage. And so it's exciting to see this progress. And we're hoping to have all of it complete before Christmas. So if you haven't been out yet and you're waiting until Christmas, we've got a surprise for you. It looks amazing already, and it's just getting better and better every day. So a little later in the service, you're going to hear from one of our amazing board members as we stand together and take in that vision offering today. So we'll keep you up to date. Now, before we jump into today's message, I just want to thank those of you that are here today, perhaps for the first time, whether you're joining us on our online campus, on our podcast, or whether you're here in the house. We want all of you to feel at home and to feel welcome. We are a family, and there's always room at our table for more as that family continues to grow. You know, last week I mentioned a word that I identify with. It's visioneer. Now, visioneering is simply the engineering of a vision. It's the process that we follow to develop and maintain a vision that we have. And in our context within the church, it's the Spirit-directed course that we follow to make our dreams a reality as Christ continues to build His church and we come alongside to walk in step with Him. You know, Andy Stanley once said that vision is a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction that it should be. I believe we're all in need of a clear, God-ordained vision for each of the roles within our lives. So whether you're a parent with a vision for your children, maybe you're the CEO of a large company and you have a corporate vision. Maybe you're the pastor of a church and you have a vision for that church and its people. Regardless of where you are in that spectrum, God wants to develop and maintain a unique vision within your life that keeps you on track for the purpose that he's created you for. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, everybody ends up somewhere, but some people can actually end up in that place on purpose. And so knowing his voice, walking in his ordered steps, allows us to walk in that purpose he's called us to. And vision empowers you to move purposely to this predetermined direction and gives you a reason for getting up and showing up every day. Because sometimes without that purpose, it can feel monotonous, like you're on a just a hamster on a wheel. But God has a purpose for every day that you live and every breath that you breathe. Vision-led people are motivated people. Find me a man or a woman who lacks motivation, and I'll show you someone who has little or no vision in their lives. You know, I think vision is a big part that many of you have completed college or university. And a lack of vision is probably why so many fail to complete that process and never finish. You know, many years ago, I walked away from a successful career in graphic design and advertising to pursue and follow the call of God on my life, to go to Bible college. And so I was leaving something that was very good, but I was leaving something good to pursue something that was great, to be true to what I felt God had placed in my heart, that vision that he put before me. And so some people thought I was crazy. Man, why are you doing this now? It's like starting over again. But I knew I had to be true to what he had called me to do. Even though I had friends in school, in Bible school, who were still trying to cut corners, still trying to cheat to get their way through and to make it and to find an easy path to the end. That's hard to believe, especially within Bible college. But again, I was in this place to take very seriously the decision that I had made. And that vision that I had for what God had called me to, that helped me show up every single day. Every book I read, every paper I wrote, every exam that I wrote, it helped to keep that vision ahead of me. See, that's the power and significance of the pull of that vision to get through some difficult times, because they weren't always easy. Trying to carry a couple of jobs and go to school at the same time, many of you know that can be incredibly challenging. Now, here's where we kind of part ways with the secular motivational gurus that are out there that tell you to follow your dreams and to visualize the future that you desire. You see, we can never underestimate the divine element to the vision equation. It's absolutely essential. The Bible says that we're not our own, that we've been bought with a price, and that you and I are called to live our lives in such a way that we give glory to God in the way that we live that life. And honoring God involves discovering his picture. It involves discovering his vision of what our lives could be in him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for a reason, for a purpose." And the Bible says, "For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Don't miss that. You are God's workmanship. So the next time you doubt your worth, the next time you're feeling that when you're all alone, remind yourself that you are the workmanship of God himself, that he has created you with great worth to do good works, to accomplish something. That means that you're a product of God's vision for your life. And you have an important role to play in what he's called the church to do. We have, all of us, been created to be dreamers and doers. Not just dreamers, not daydreamers. I did my fair share of that back in high school, kind of staring out the window wishing I was anywhere but in that moment. But we're called to be dreamers and doers. God has that big vision for your life, so you cannot forget the second part to that verse when it talks about us being crafted for a purpose. And that purpose is to do the good works that God has envisioned each of us doing. He has something for you to do. All right, so last week I started by talking about five reasons that we always want to be a church that has vision to see past the obstacles, vision to see. And we managed to cover the first three. So as a bit of a review, I'm going to go over those again and then get into four and five. The first one is that vision is key to progress. Without vision, progress is impossible. You stop moving forward. You don't step into that next chapter of your life. And you know what? When it comes to progress in your life, whether it's big steps or little ones, we need to learn to celebrate that progress. Celebrate that in your marriage. Celebrate it in your children's lives. Celebrate the wins that you have within your home, because you know what? God's not finished with you yet. There's many more wins to come. The second thing we talked about is that no vision leads to die vision. Simply put, if you don't want to perish, if you don't want to crash and burn, you need to have vision in your life. Proverbs chapter 29 in verse 18, a scripture that many of us are familiar with, where there is no vision, the people perish. They perish. And that's true personally. That's true corporately as a church. And then number three, the last one we talked about last week was vision accelerates our devotion. You see, God's people are still his plan for the world, and he wants to work in and through us to take that hope, the hope of the gospel, to those that need it. But when we become distracted with non-eternal junk, it just pulls us down, and we begin living at this lower level of devotion, which in turn affects God's plan for your life. And in that moment, we begin seeking comfort instead of mission and vision. And so we need to understand that it's vision, our vision for what God has called us to do as a church and individually and for our family, that creates that devotion within our lives. And then moving now into to number four, vision stirs our faith. Vision causes a shift in our thinking. Instead of thinking, you know what, there's no way we can possibly do that, now you start to think, why not? Why not? What could God do if we just trusted him? You start saying, what if we did love our community? What if we started to transform our city? We can be a church that's filled with hope that actually influences the world, which I'm so happy to be a part of that kind of church. If not us, then who? If not now, then when? That is the faith that I'm talking about. And in Romans 4:17, we see that the definition of faith is seeing the things that are not as though they were. See, vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. So faith are kind of those God goggles that you put on that allows you to see what's invisible. It makes it a reality in your life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. It's what we know in him that is true. So there's really no limit to what we can do in our church, in our community, and in our city with God working in and through our lives. Why? Because it's not our faith in my ability and our ability. It's our faith in his ability to see it through. Vision stirs up faith. And then number five, vision brings us together. It brings us together, even in our diversity, culturally, denominationally, even with all our different opinions and all our different personalities. And there's lots of opinions and personalities these days. Vision is like getting on the same bus and starting to head in the same direction. Now, we may not always agree, but we can walk in alignment. And vision brings that alignment. Only can be aligned with the purpose of God. We may have disagreements along the way, but the vision of God aligns us in that purpose that he's called us to. And so whether you attend the main campus, the Mandarin campus, the online campus, it's our vision that unites us all as one family. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation. You see, unity, that's where God lives, where God works. And it's in that place that God commands the blessing. Different people, different backgrounds, different races, different ages, men, women, different politics. One vision. See, God's vision supersedes all of those things and brings us together. And when we truly get a vision from the King of Kings, all that petty, insignificant garbage, it begins to fall away. We start to see what those things are in light of eternity. Not fighting over what's mine and what's yours and how much I have and how much you have, but coming into alignment with what God has called us to do together. Now, for the sake of clarity, I think it's important to also understand the difference between mission and vision. You see, the mission of the church is unchanging, or at least it should be. It was given to us by Jesus himself in the Great Commission and the Great Command. And here at Calvary, it's a combination of the two, so that we have a statement that's easy to remember. It's very clear to love God and to love people while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. That's the combination of those two commands and commission. Now, vision, on the other hand, is contextual, okay? It's how we fulfill the mission in our culture and in the day that we're living in. And the how we do it, that can be different for every church. And so let's look at the church we see, right? Specifically, let's talk about our church, our Calvary vision and our culture, our vision here in this house that keeps us aligned together. Now, for some of you, this will reinforce what you've already committed your life to. And for those of you that are new, it will help to bring clarity to where it is we're headed together. And the first thing that we need to understand is that the church we see keeps moving forward. We're not a church content to stay with where we're at today. I've said it before, that we have this holy dissatisfaction with where we are. We always know that in Christ, there is so much more. Job chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The righteous shall move forward and onward. Those with pure hearts shall become stronger and stronger." You see, we see a church where every member is a minister, young and old, equipped as disciples, serving with our gifts and our abilities, serving God and serving one another, moving forward on our knees through prayer, because prayer is the engine that drives everything that we do. We move forward on our knees as we pray to God. And as we fall in love and study his word together. And we bring it to life as we come together. Calvary is multicultural. It's a multi-campus church of small groups providing care, providing connection, getting bigger and smaller all at the same time. It's a church, it's a community where we celebrate our differences. I love the fact that so many of us are so different, with different backgrounds and different cultures. It's a wonderful, to me, a window into who God really is. We see a church filled with dreamers and doers, filled with faith and ready to risk our comfort for the cause of the kingdom. In other words, we'll do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. That's what we're all about. The church we see expresses life. And I think sometimes we need to stir ourselves up to truly demonstrate what he's done in our lives. We see a spirit-empowered church that knows how to celebrate passionately as we worship God together through drama, through dance, through the arts, using all of those things to convey the power of the gospel. Calvary Church is encouraging, it's exciting, it's life-giving. We see a church that's extravagant in generosity toward God and toward one another. We see that demonstrated on a day like today as we come together for our vision offering to celebrate what God is doing in our lives and what is still to come, and to see that generosity on display as we trust him together. We see it within our small groups as those who come begin serving one another and loving one another, caring for one another. That's powerful when we use our time, our talent, and our treasure. The church we see is young and is young at heart. So that covers all of us if you see yourself there. May God always help us to be a church that's cheering on and supporting this next generation of emerging leaders. And may they always know that we will forever be in their corner, cheering them on and praying for what God has in their lives. We see a church that's filled with kids, with children, who are the church of today, not just the church of tomorrow. Calvary is a church that actively makes a place for our students, our young people, to be everything that they've been called to be. Not in just some corner of the church, but to be integrated into everything that we do and to lead the way as we continue following his plan. We see a church filled with honor, where the wisdom of one generation and the passion of the next are celebrated in one place as they work together. The church we see is missions-minded. You see, your mission field could be on the other side of an ocean, could also be on the other side of your fence, in your backyard. We see a church that's big enough to reach the world, but small enough to feel like home. And locally, as a church, we partner with Night Shift Ministries as we serve our street friends in the Wally area. We work with the City Dream Center as we sponsor public schools and help struggling families, loving them, serving them in a practical way. Nationally, we're a part of ARC Canada as we help to come alongside young church planters as they begin to answer the call in their life and to start new churches. And then globally, we partner and stand with IPHC World Missions around the world, with missionaries like Bob and Carol Cave, with people that we love that have given their lives to take the gospel around the world and to some very difficult places. The Bible talks about that picture, that local, national, and international view in Acts 1, verse 8, when it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem," here at home, "in all Judea and Samaria, and extending out to the end of the earth." We love our community. We love our city. We love our nation. We love the nations of the world. And it's reflected in everything that we do, how we plan, how we deploy our resources, and how we pray together. So, all of this, as we talk about the vision specific to who we are as a church, maybe leaving you with one question. Well, what about me? How do I fit in to all of that? Well, let me give you three P's. This is my 3P answer. I wish I could put in O there somewhere so we could make a good Star Wars connection, a 3P answers. No, I'll leave that. The first one is P for prayer. Pray for the church. Pray for the leaders, the new and emerging leaders, the existing leaders to continue to be developed. Pray for multiplication of small groups, for kids and students, for the unity of our church family. Nothing can stop us when we serve together, when we worship together, when we give together, and when we pray together. The second P is to protect the unity of our church. Within your circle of relationships, within your small group, stay on guard against divisive words, against those who feel that God has gifted them with the gift of criticism. Listen, we don't have too much time to listen to those that are always pulling people down, always dragging people off the ladder as they're trying to build for God. Believe the best before you believe the worst. And then finally, plan. Plan to give towards church progress. Vision doesn't go anywhere without provision, right? And where God guides, he also provides. So when you consistently give, it allows us to keep reaching people for Jesus here at home, across Canada, and around the world. I pray today that you will be encouraged and inspired to have vision for your family, for your marriage, for your children, vision that is fueled by the faithfulness of God. I pray also that you would see with clarity the vision of our church, where God has called us to go. And I pray that you would be open to hear from heaven as God calls you to be a part of this exciting movement that's happening here at Calvary. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful today for the vision that you've placed in our heart, to walk out the mission of loving you and your people and developing disciples wherever we go. I pray, Lord Jesus, for those that would come alongside and bear witness to what you've called them to do, that they would be energized and refueled and renewed to begin to dream and see vision again for their own lives as they step into the vision of what you've called us to do as a church. Today, we're thankful on this Vision Offering Sunday for the generosity of your people. And we pray, God, that that in you our faith would be stirred to know that the best is still yet to come. So we give you praise and glory. We're thankful for all that you're continuing to do within us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. We'll see you again next week.